This morning, we'd like to see the title of Lovely Discipline in Job, chapter 5, verses 1 through 27. Job has a wonderful story. He used to be rich to be of a good family, and he had a good intimate relationship with God. But in the communication between God and Satan, God allowed Satan to test Job. Because of that, Job was afflicted with horrible, loathsome sores all over his body, just like vapors. At that time, his wife told Job in Job chapter 2, verses 9 and 10, "Do you still hold fast or firmly to your integrity? Curse God and die." So his wife asked Job to curse God and die. But Job responded to her, "You speak as one of the foolish women speak. Shall we indeed accept good from God? And shall we not accept adversity?" So God has a sovereignty. So God is a sovereign. So whatever God please, we should accept. His friends visited on Job to comfort him, but they were silent for 7 days when they saw Job's suffering and pain or sores all over his body. But in chapter 3, Job initiated to complain to his friends, "Why was I ever born?" So he complained his stillbirth because of his present health condition was terrible. Also, his possession was wiped out. Also, his children was wiped out. In the chapter 1, also his servants were wiped out too. In chapter 4, Eliphaz, his friend, was probably the eldest friend of the four Job's friends in the book of Job. The Teman was a trading city in Edom. So Temanite Eliphaz visited on Job to comfort him. But in the last chapter, you know, basically Eliphaz's comment is based upon because of Job's own sins or own hidden sins, the consequences are Job's present suffering. He lost his possessions, he lost his children, so his possessions were robbed, his servants were killed, and his present sore suffering. Namely, Eliphaz suggested that the suffering as God's punishment is a direct result of a sin, or a direct consequence of a sin. It may be true, according to Galatians chapter 6, verses 7 and 8, do not be deceived. God is not mocked, or God is not ridiculed. For whatever man sows, that he will also reap. For he who sows to his flesh will reap corruption of the flesh. But he who sows to the Spirit will reap everlasting life of the Spirit. So, suffering as God's punishment is a direct result of sin, because Job sowed sin. Therefore, Job reaps the fruit of sin, which is Job's present suffering, like that. But suffering is not always a direct result of sin, because the righteous often get sick. The righteous man often suffer. The righteous often die suddenly. So, not, you know, kind of thing always. Here is a cultic prosperity doctrine. If you have a good faith or a good relationship with God, you would be strong, healthy, and materially prosperous. That's wrong. So that's a false hope. Because sometimes the righteous man or a good Christian get sick, get poor, get lost money, like Job. So that's why that doctrine is like hellish or cultic prosperity, a gospel. We see many good Christians suffer, disciple or Jesus Christ himself suffers for his kingdom. Eliphaz continues his comment to Job in chapter 5. Call out, if there be any there, will answer you, to which of the saints or good believers will you turn? For wrath kills the foolish man, and envy slays the silly one. I have seen the foolish taking root, but suddenly I cursed his house. Suddenly his house was burnt down. His children are far from safety, and his children are insecure. They are Christed in the gate. Neither is there any to deliver them. So Eliphaz feel hatred to Job's present problems. He lost his possessions. He lost his whole children. You know, something like that. You know, he Eliphaz saw, you know, what happened. Now, so for 7 days, he was silent, but he gave a comment based upon Eliphaz is accusing Job of Job's hidden sins, because his sins caused Job's present, you know, problems, present, you know, suffering, present hardship. Whose harvest the hungry eateth and taketh its event out of the thorns, and the robber swalleth up their substance. Right here, thorns, you know, which meaning, in order to protect, you know, house furnishing, house, you know, possessions, or, you know, houses, people, you know, family members, so they fenced with thorns, like the prickly pears or cactus, and something like that. but that you prepared certain thorns, trees, in order to protect your home. But although affliction comes not forth of the dust, neither does the trouble spring out of the ground. What does it mean? So affliction must have a reason, not just come from the dust, relevant reason. Neither does the trouble spring out of the ground. Trouble has a reason. Yet many are born unto trouble as the sparks fly upward. However, many are born. Man's trouble is natural, like you made a bonfire, so you watch the logs pop by burning it. So that time the sparks go upward. This kind of nature, likewise, the life itself has trouble. I would seek unto God, and unto God would I commit my cause. That's a very good comment. I would seek unto God, which meaning I totally trust in the Lord, in God, and unto God would I commit my cause. I commit my way to God, which is all things should be put in God's hands, not my hands. I just commit my way to the Lord. Rather than you worry about it, think over that, think thoughtfully, don't do that. Although you don't know the reason clearly, I just trust in the Lord. I commit my way to the Lord. I commit my present situation, present problem, all things to the Lord. I just keeping on, faithfulness to the Lord. That's a really good comment, except Elie Father's accusation of Job's folly leading to Job's present problem. He gives a rain to the earth. God gives a rain to the earth and sends the waters upon the fields. So God made a marvelous thing. God which does great things and unsearchable, marvelous things without number. So then Eliphaz explained example. God gives rain to the earth, send the water upon the fields. So in season, God gives the rain, the forest grow, vegetable grows, something like that. Then animal can eat grass, like that. He sets on high those that be low. So basically, God raised the humble people. God loves the humble. Why? Because God wants to be glorified by the people, by creatures. And those which mourn may be exalted to safety. God will comfort the mourning people, so exalted them to safety. He disappointed the devices of the crafty, so that their hand cannot perform their enterprises. So God disappointed the worldly craftiness, some kind of plant skin, so that worldly hands cannot perform their own business. So something like that. So basically, Eliphaz indirectly accused Job like or a sneaky guy or something like that, something like that. So that's bad comment, but he takes the wise in their own craftiness. and the counsel of the fools is carried headlong. So this comment is good. In the 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 19, for the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God, for it is written, he catches the wise in their own craftiness. So basically, worldly wisdom is different from, you know, godly wisdom. Why? Because worldly wisdom focused on the world, or a foreseeable thing, or a craftable thing, but godly wisdom focuses on kingdom of God, eternal thing. So obviously, totally different. Disciple quoted this verse, chapter 5, verse 13, John. Although God rebuked the early father for being wrong in his advice to Job, chapter 42, verse 7, the Lord said to Eliphaz, the Temanite, my wrath is aroused against you, you mean Eliphaz, and your two friends, the other two friends, for you have not spoken of me what is right. So you didn't speak of God what is right, as my servant Job has. So not all he said, or not all Eliphaz said, was in error. The part Paul quoted was correct. People are often caught in their own traps, in their own craftiness. Therefore, people should seek godly wisdom rather than worldly wisdom. They comment good. They meet with the darkness in the daytime. So worldly craftiness guys meet with darkness in the daytime. Although they brought up their own wisdom, they grew up in the noondays as in the night, but he saves the poor from the sword. The God saves the poor people from the sword. The poor meaning the heart of the pure, so humble people. Their mouth from the hand of the mighty, so the poor humble people's mouths. The sword, their mouths, God saved the poor people. So the poor had hope, so in the Lord, right? And iniquity stoppeth her mouth. Behold, Job, happy is the man whom God corrects, therefore despises thou not the chastening of the Almighty. Eliphaz was correct. It is happy or blessed to be disciplined by God when you do wrong rather than to be abandoned into the wrongdoings by God. Although his advice could not apply to Job for his assumption of Job's hardship directly resulting from Job's hidden serious sin. But this comment, behold the happy man whom God corrects. Solomon cited this verse in Proverbs chapter 3, verses 11 and 12. My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor detest his correction. For whom the Lord loves, he corrects, just as a father the son in whom he delights. Because God loves you, that's why God gives disciplining to you, or God chastens you. Okay, in Hebrews chapter 12, verses 5 and 6, the author also cited Eliphaz's comment, chapter 5, verse 17 as well. And you have forgotten the exhortation which speaks to you as to sons. My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor be discouraged when you are rebuked by him. for whom the Lord loves, he chastens and scourges every son whom he receives. Sometimes God chastens, scourges, you know, disciplines, you know, like that, because God loves you. God gives opportunity to you to correct the wrongdoing and come back, you know, to the Lord. He makes a soul. That's a consequence he makes soul. So this kind of, the basically fathers indicates, you know, Job's present suffering, you know, pain, or loss of possessions, loss of children, is a sort of, you know, God's chastening you or correcting you to come back to the Lord. So basically, let Job repent your sins and come back to the Lord. But that, you know, basic assumption is a serious mistake for Eliphaz, you know. But this word itself is good, you know. God loves you, you know. God, you know, despises you. But Job's present suffering pain is not such a case at all, because God, you know, to allow, you know, Job to be more, you know, purified, more, you know, spiritual, you know, to the Lord. You know, that's the reason. He makes the soul and binds it. So Eliphaz continually, because God, you know, is correcting you, chastening you, because God loves you. That's why God, you know, makes a soul, binds up. He wounds, God gives wounding, and his hands make whole. He shall deliver you in six troubles, ye in seven. There shall be no evil touch you. But, you know, God will protect you from, you know, any evil. In seven meaning complete, you know, in definite number, you know, God will protect you. You know, really comforting word. In famine, he will redeem you from death. So even if in famine, God, you know, will not allow you to be dead, you know, so they're from death, you know, God will deliver you from death. In a word, from the power of the sword, you shall be hid from the scourge of the tongue. So you will be protected from slanderous, you know, word. Neither shall you be afraid of destruction when it comes. So you shouldn't be afraid of destruction. At destruction and famine, you shall leper. So leper meaning leper at destruction, famine, because God protected you from any destruction, famine. Neither shall you be afraid of the beast of the earth. So you shall be afraid of any wild animals. You shall be in league with the stones of the field. And the beast of the field shall be at peace with you. So the wild animal, you know, cannot, you know, attack you. So you shall know that your tabernacles or your dwelling shall be in peace. Your dwelling place shall be in peace. And you shall visit your habitation. So shall I sin, but you shall, you know, visit your, you know, the house, but you shouldn't sin anymore. You shall know also that your seed shall be great. So harvest, you know, a lot of your seed, you know, is growing well, and your offspring, your children, as the grass of the earth. Grace of the earth, like innumerable number, and like the sands of the sea, you know, your children, a lot of descendants will come from you. You shall come to your grave in full age. In a certain day, when you get older, you will die naturally, full age, like a shock of a corn comes in his season. So also corn, you know, they will get, you know, season and will be harvested. we have searched it, and so it is, hear it, and know it for you good. So you understand my comments. So my comments, let you apply my comments to your life. Basically, every father's many good words, you know, but only one mistake because, you know, Job's, you know, present problem directly came from the Job's hidden sins or iniquities or wrong, something wrong, you know, like that. You know, that kind of assumption is wrong, you know, because over, you know, God's sovereignty, which meaning whatever God pleases, the righteous man often may suffer or may be poor, you know, not, you know, prosperous, something like that. So, because of God's purpose, we see, you know, Joseph's story. You know, Joseph was wandered, you know, for almost 20 years, you know, including slavers and in prison, also, you know, false accusation of a rape, something like that, you know. But God, you know, gave opportunity to Joseph to meet with the emperor, you know, or Pharaoh, Egyptian, you know, emperor, Pharaoh's servant. So Joseph, you know, interpreted the servant's dream, you know. Then, you know, after 3 years later, their servant reminded of Joseph. So Joseph had opportunity to interpret Pharaoh's dream. So that interpretation was correct. So basically, God, you know, gave an interpretation. So Joseph became prime minister of Egypt. So Joseph had an opportunity to deliver Israelite people from, you know, famine or starvation. So that's why God, you know, can Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ, through Israelite line. You know, that kind of purpose, you know, that kind of God's purpose in, you know, God's timetable. You know, God is working through His way. So we don't know, basically. So finally, Eliphaz otherwise in verses 17 and 18 show a view of lovely discipline that has been almost forgotten, but should be remembered when we face suffering, pain, or hardship. Job did not understand why he suffered, but Job's faith in God had a chance to grow in light of his confession of Job, chapter 42, verse 5. I have heard of you who is God, by the hearing of the ear, but now my eye sees you. Which meaning Job confessed by himself. Job has heard of God by the hearing of the ear of Joseph. No, Job's ear. But now my eyes, or Joseph's eye, sees God. Or Joseph has personally experienced, intermittently experienced, God's handling, God's hands. On the other hand, you must not make Eliphaz's mistake, which is all hardship coming only from sin. God does not eliminate all hardship when we are following God intimately or closely. good behavior is not always rewarded by prosperity, called as prosperity gospel. Rewards for good and punishment for evil are totally in God's hands, not in human hands at all. Therefore, you know, all things were committed to the Lord. So you just trust in the Lord and commit your present situation to the Lord. If you commit sin, you repent your sins, then commit your ways to the Lord. Now God is leading your ways to the Lord for His glory according to His will. Let's pray all together. Heavenly Father, thank you for your message about lovely discipline. Lord, continually correct us to be just like your Son's Christ image. Mortify our carnal things completely, but inspire us in your spirit. Lead us to follow your direction. Lord, we do not understand always the present situation. For they don't know that we are supposed to be. But Father, help us to trust in you and just commit our ways to the Lord. Lord, it's in your hands. Lord, my life is in your hands. Let you be in control and may we rest in you. In Jesus' name, amen.